Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the month of July, we have been studying the book of Colossians. In chapter 1, Paul describes the greatest rescue mission of all time, being rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Chapter 2, Paul tells us about the freedom that we have in Christ, freedom from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Chapter 3, Paul tells us about the new life we have in Christ, not a life of selfishness and sin, but a life of compassion, kindness, and love. And now in chapter 4, we have his concluding words to this great book. And he gives us one important encouragement. Make the best use of the time. Colossians 4, verse 5. We should make the time count. So what does that mean? Now, it's easy for us to take our time for granted. I know it's easy for me to get distracted. It's easy for me to spend the time we have on matters that in the end probably won't matter very much. We all get up caught up in activities that aren't very productive. We all spend more time than we should binge watching or doom scrolling or going down different rabbit holes on the internet. And of course, my favorite, plain old procrastinating. Now, all of us can use help managing the time God gives to us, being good stewards of the time that God gives to us as his free gift. Based on Colossians 4, let me share with you four ways to make your time count. Number one, understand the time. When it comes to time, there are two really important things to remember. Number one, first, time is short. Secondly, eternity is forever. Life is short. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90 tells us that we should number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom, which is great advice. And how many days do we actually have? Well, the average life expectancy of a person living in the United States of America is 76 years, which sounds kind of like a long time until you break it down into weeks and days. 76 years is about 4,000 weeks. That's not that many when you think about it. Now, we're thankful for each and every one of those weeks. We don't take them for granted. Physical life is a great blessing from the Lord. It is his gift to us. Each week should be cherished, but I think you would all agree with me, a week goes by pretty fast. I mean, how fast did this last week just go by? Now, 4,000 weeks is an average. Some of you will live on Earth longer. Some of you will make it to 5,000 weeks. That's the age of 96. Although no one I've ever known, no one I've ever met, has made it to 6,000 weeks. That's 115, in case you are wondering. So on average, we have about 4,000 weeks, which isn't that long. Think about how fast a week goes by and how every year goes by faster and faster. We don't have as much time as we think we do. Life is short, so Colossians 4 tells us make the best use of our time. Or, as Ephesians 5:16 puts it, make the most of every opportunity. And the best way is to invest our time not in things that are temporary, but in things that are eternal. Life is short, but eternity is forever. Everything you see around you will one day be destroyed. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Everything you see around you will one day be destroyed. The world will be destroyed by fire. One day, everything you see will be a big lump of charcoal. Three things last forever. Only three things. God, God's word, the Bible, and people. Our relationship with God and our relationships with people are the most important things we can invest our 4,000 or so weeks which God gives to us. Everything else is temporary and fading away. People are made to live forever, and they will, either without God in eternal darkness or with God in heaven. And trust me, God wants everybody to live with him in heaven forever. 1 Timothy 2:4 says God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. So do we. And that's only made possible through Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Eternity is forever. Forever is a really long time. Eternity is not 4,000 weeks. It's not 40,000 weeks. It's not 400,000 weeks. It's longer than that. It is forever. God wants to give us as a free gift an eternity of love, his peace, his happiness, and his joy. He wants that joy to go on and on forever. The joy of having a relationship with him, the joy of having perfect relationships with everyone else. And that joy will never end. Life is short, but eternity is forever. Focus on that which is eternal. Number two, pray. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear. Colossians 4:2-4. Continue steadfastly in prayer literally means to persevere in prayer. Keep praying. Pray continually. Prayer is practical and useful, right? And prayer always makes a difference. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 instructs us, pray continually, pray without ceasing. One thing God always wants us to do in every situation is to pray. Now, there's two really interesting things here in Colossians 4 about Paul's directions in prayer. First of all, I think it's interesting that Paul says to always pray with thanksgiving. Always include thanks to God in your prayers. Whether your situation is good or bad, positive or negative, comfortable or uncomfortable, always pray with thanksgiving. Paul is in chains and he continues to pray with thanksgiving in all his epistles, like in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which he also wrote from prison. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So, first thing Paul wants us to do is always pray with thanksgiving. Always have a thankful attitude. We have a new attitude in Christ, right? Rejoice, give thanks, and sing. Second thing I find interesting is what Paul prays for. So let me ask you a question. If you, like Paul, were in chains in a Roman prison being punished, even though you didn't do anything wrong, what would be the first thing you would ask people to pray for you? Let me tell you what I would ask people to pray for. I would be praying to get out. Please pray that when the Roman guard comes to deliver my food, that he accidentally drops the key to my cell so I can escape. I mean, who wouldn't pray for that? Well, Paul wouldn't. That's not what he prays for. Paul adjusts himself to being in a Roman prison just as easily as he adjusted to being a free man in Ephesus. He figured, this is where God wants me to share the gospel. So he doesn't pray that he gets out of prison. What he prays is that he would declare the mystery of Christ, that God would open a door for God's word, that he may declare the mystery of Christ to our Roman guards and to the other prisoners, and do so clearly. Another chance to share the gospel. What a great prayer. That's something you can pray for me and for all other pastors, that we take the opportunity, whatever our situation, share the gospel and do it clearly. That's a good thing to pray for everybody. Pray that for yourself, right? Because what do we want to invest in? We want to invest in eternal things. Three things are forever, right? God, God's word, people. So many times our prayers are concerned with temporary needs, not the eternal needs of ourselves and the people around us. Number three, walk in wisdom. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Colossians 4:5. In order to make the best use of time, we need to walk in wisdom. We have to conduct ourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Well, where do we find the wisdom to conduct ourselves wisely? God's word, the Bible, of course. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2, verse 6. God gives us wisdom from heaven through the power of his word. He gives us knowledge and understanding, which is why we want to be students of God's word through devotions and Sunday school and Bible study, as well as coming each week to church. We don't need more wisdom from the world. We can get enough of that already. We need the wisdom which comes from God. It comes through the scriptures. But Paul tells us to take the next step, not just to listen to the wisdom, but conduct ourselves according to it. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers as well. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Walk in the wisdom of what the Lord teaches you. So God doesn't want us to just study the scripture so we have some head knowledge. He wants us to put them into practice. So when you go to a Bible study or listen to a sermon, you always want to ask yourself, how can I put what I've learned into practice? We're not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We want to walk in the wisdom of God to make the most of every opportunity. And finally, number four, choose gracious words. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Finally, as we do speak to others, we want to speak gracious words. God wants us to flavor our speech with salt. Why do you put salt on food? To make it taste better? Our words should be carefully chosen to come across in the best possible way to others. We should use words that are tasteful, kind, respectful, full of grace. Christianity is not a religion about judgment. It's ultimately a religion about grace. We're not saved by legalism, not saved by the law, nor saved through the gospel by grace through faith. So our words should reflect that and be full of grace towards people. I love Proverbs 2:6. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Now in the days of Proverbs 2, verse 6. Now in the days of Proverbs, people had yet to discover that wonderful gift from God that is known as milk chocolate. Now you can understand this verse as gracious words are like a Three Musketeers candy bar. That's how sweet, kind, and gracious words can be. But this Three Musketeers would be a Three Musketeers that is not only tastes good, but it is also good for you. It is literally the best thing for you. Wouldn't that be great if healthy foods tasted good? Well, gracious words are like that. They are both sweet and helpful and beneficial to people. They give health to the body. Always, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. God wants us to choose words of grace and mercy because God has been gracious to us, right? God doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't condemn us. Our sins are paid for by Jesus Christ. We are fully and completely forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So therefore, in our own attitudes and in our speech, we should make it a point to use words of grace, gracious words, kind words, seasoned with salt, that it may benefit all who listen. Words that build up instead of words that tear down. Words that encourage instead of words that discourage. Because, as we've been talking about, time here on earth is short. We want to make the best use of the time that we can. But the good news is that in that time and forever, we are now and forever under the grace of God. His grace covers all of our sins. And so we speak words of grace and we live lives of grace. And by the grace of God, when our time on earth here is finished, we will enter into an eternity of God's grace, God's love, God's peace, God's joy, and God's grace forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.